Hey everybody, welcome back to Hey Kids Comics. This is issue 76 for those of you keeping score at home. We are continuing our story arc on Rethinking the Legends. With me tonight is the Jedi, Cole Houston, as always.
Naturally.
So there he is. And
no getting rid of me at this point.
Oh, I wouldn't. I
can't 76 issues in, I'm stuck.
I can't quit you. And with us for the entire arc is the unmountable, slathered in hummus, cherub-cheeked and rosy-jawed, Bobby, the mastermind Blakey. Bobby, are you out there?
Hello,
Bobby.
And let me just point out that I am mountable if you ask really nicely.
If you got to be quick, and you have to have some wolfsbane seeped into a tea.
You have to make sure I have time to stretch.
You got to get them limbered up. You got to let them limber up first.
It's important to do your calisthenics before.
It really is. Don't mount Bobby 20 minutes after swimming. Isn't that how the? Isn't that the colloquialism?
But you can do it during swimming.
You can do it during. It's easier to do it during swimming.
Yes, only you got to be careful because people get stuck together that way. Moving on.
Well, wait a second. Somebody explain the physics of getting stuck together that way.
That's on our next show about Aquaman.
Oh, all right. Does this have something to do with Boobo? Boobo hasn't made an appearance in a while. I think we should. I gotta find a Boobo for Alcon this year.
That's true.
That is going to say probably no.
Oh, there he is. All right, so
as I just found Boobo. Lake Wobegon, Minnesota.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Here he is. Speaking of out of time, another time, another place. Lake Wobegon is another time and another place. So we've been doing a story arc on alternate universes in comics. The first one was kind of our overview. Bobby has been kind enough to join us for all of these, and will continue for the next two.
Let's just make it clear. Bobby has been kind enough to be forced.
Well,
joining you.
Bobby has been kind enough to have nothing better to do than to join us.
I'm starting to see a pattern in the Jedi Cole universe of my involvement of things.
It's
borderline some like a hostage situation. So if anybody is listening, this is a cry for help.
Are you familiar with press ganging? Because that's essentially what we did to you. We press ganged you into this.
Is Bobby familiar with press ganging? Look at 40 some odd. You Are Here comics,
right?
I'm familiar with some other stuff related to ganging, but I'm not sure that's what we're talking about.
So
another time, another place, Bobby.
Another time, another place. So the first one was our overview. The second one was about the different iterations that the characters go through in the multiverses, and this one is probably going to be one of my favorite issues in this story arc, which is when you take an established character and you decide you're going to reimagine him in a different era, whether it be the future or the past, and what that does to the character and the supporting cast and the story. Some of the coolest books I've ever read are fall into this category, and some of the worst also. I should throw that in there, some of the worst as well. Bobby, do you have any thoughts or feelings to get us going on this thing?
You're talking about related comics, right?
Right. I'm not just talking about the fact that you hate me.
Because I have a lot of thoughts of you get you going, but I didn't know if you want me to stick to the topic at hand.
Right. Just go with the topic, will you?
But my whole thing with this is like I'm kind of with you is like I think some of the best stories that have come out are when they shake things up and they do something different with the characters, but at the same time, they usually crash and burn really fast. You know, if they're not done just right, I think, you know, I know there's a lot of them, but I know like the Batman books seems to have had probably the widest variety of them.
Right.
And somehow that character fits in every single timeline, you know, and Spawn did it kind of too, you know,
where he
went on this path of let's make a figure and let's make a comic and we'll match them together. And the type of character and the story behind the Spawn stuff actually works. The stories didn't always work. But the idea of the Satan soldier can pop up everywhere.
Right.
You know,
doors.
So in taking the cool twist, if it's done cleverly, you know, I always thought was like really intriguing and a really great concept. Sadly, a lot of it was like half-assedly planned, you know, and they're like, hey, let's throw Batman fighting Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde and go.
Well, Batman seems to be the...
Yeah, as we...
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, as we've talked about before, it really comes down to, are you doing this because it's clever, or are you doing this because somebody said, hey, how about this?
Right, right.
You know,
is it the original Aliens versus Predator, or is it one of those like things where they're like, oh, I don't know, RoboCop versus Robbie the Robot or something?
Which would have been amazing.
It really would have been amazing. Can we get that?
Like, I imagine, like, of all the books that have come out, and like Trouble and things that we've talked about in the past, like, I actually am more interested in hearing the pitch meetings for some of this crap than I am for the actual books themselves, because not only do I want to see how they come up with the cojones to tell them, hey, here's what we want to do, but the guy on the other end of the table who says, you know what, that's a good idea, you know, and then saying, you know, do they just let them run with it? Do they just make some crap up? You know, do they have a layout? Because sometimes you read it and it seems like first issue is amazing. And then if it's like a four-issue storyline, the rest of it is like somebody just threw it together and didn't really have a plan past the first issue.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I think some of it may just be sort of an editorial mandate. Someone comes down from on high and says, you know, we got this idea to do, you know, Batman as Leonardo da Vinci's apprentice.
I envision it like...
He takes the hang glider design and decides to become a bat and fight.
I envision it like this old school like telegraph, and there's a guy sitting down at the desk and the telegraph message comes through and he rips it off and he's like, we've got Batman and Dr. Jekyll, and he's running through the printing room.
It's like a scene out of the Hudsucker Proxy.
Yeah, and he's right. Like running over to like Jim Lee and he's like, quickly, draw Batman in the 1600s. And then he's running over to this guy. He's like, quickly, do some research on Jack the Ripper. He's running back and forth.
You know, it really comes down to what do they do with it? Do they embrace it? Do they find a clever way to take the mythos and adapt them? Or do they just simply fart out?
Well, no, I think it's that a guy's, you know, you got your editorial board, you know, and a guy walks into the room and he's like, I got this idea for a comic book. It's Batman. Do it. Do it. It'll sell. Do it. Batman, it'll sell. Just whatever it is. But you haven't heard the great thing where he teams up with Sherlock Holmes and fights Dracula. Just do it. Midgets, and they got blowguns. No, I don't even care. I don't even tell me. I don't want to know. I want to be so surprised as everybody else is.
That's when you have the guy that's at the table with his cigar, and he stops. He goes, just stop. Did you say Batman was in it?
Right.
He's like, yeah, I think we might be able to work Superman. And he's like, I have another meeting. Go to print.
That's right. Just go to print. But there's no story. Print it. But there's not even any art. We haven't even discussed
it. I want it next week.
That's right.
It's like nobody's going to read it. They're going to see Batman and say, I'll have that.
Right. How many covers can we get for it? But there's not even a story. Just put the covers on it.
Batman. Oh, Diamond, help us stop the presses on previews. We got one more thing coming out.
That's right.
It's called Just Another Damn Batman Story.
What always amazed me is they would do these covers that had to do with the storyline, and then if they happened to do a variant cover on one of these kind of things, it very rarely had anything to do with the story.
Right.
It's like, I never understood a variant cover on any book, whether it's these things or this crap that they do now where they say, like, I think Marvel has a series coming out pretty soon, it's like the animal variants.
Yep, they do.
I'm like, what is the point of this? Why do I need to see... You know,
because sales were tapering on blank covers. That's why.
That's right.
Yeah, but I'm like, why do I need to see Winter Soldier as a bear? What does that do for my experience?
Haven't you always wondered what your favorite comic characters would look like if they was zoo animals?
Haven't you ever wanted to see the Avengers in their ursine form?
I mean, I know. If I was Roy, then yeah, I would want to see the bear.
Oh, wow. Hi, Roy.
That kind of bear.
Roy refers to me as the red panda, so I have to throw my shout out periodically. But
God, I just got coffee in my nose. Oh, God, that is awful.
But it's like, I just don't understand.
I mean, you don't want to see Wolverine as a Wolverine?
Right? Now, that would be awesome. If your character's named after an animal, then okay, I get it. You know? But if you're going to just draw it just because, you know, and that's another pitch aspect. I know that doesn't have to do with the story itself. It's kind of that alternate world. And it's like, who sits in there and says, you know, we're doing this big Winter Soldier storyline and we're going to bring Peter Parker back. And you know what we need to do would be a good selling point? Animal covers.
Animal covers.
And you get all these cartoonists to do them. Like, they're awesome covers, but it's like, what the hell, man?
I don't know, though. I would like to see Cyclops as a pangolin or...
I may want to see that
as a D-hole.
As a D-hole.
If you're gonna do it, commit to it. Give me a whole book of these characters.
How about Gambit as a dick dick?
How's about Gambit as a dick dick and Cyclops as a D-hole? I'd pay for that book.
That's right.
Okay, so now that diatribe is over,
I just did an article about those animal covers, and I was like, man, these are really cool covers. And the more I started looking, I was like, what the hell do they have to do with these books?
Batman seems to be the litmus test for this. Am I wrong in that assumption? Like, because what they've done with Batman is, in the Elseworlds, they made Pirate Batman and Cowboy Batman and Pilgrim Batman and Wild West Train Robber Batman and just any Batman you could think of, Da Vinci Batman, and
anytime you can put Batman
blazed a trail, especially into the Untamed West.
Yeah,
apparently there was a Lobo Annual Number 2 was an anthology of Western tales featuring Lobo,
because that's what he's popular for,
right?
It's like, but see, you take somebody like I was saying earlier, like Spawn or Batman or those characters, they're people, so you can find a way, you know. Even Shadowhawk did that, where they started throwing all the different Shadowhawks that have come before. So you have Cowboy Shadowhawk, or it was an Indian, I think, and you have all these different times. But it's like, when you take a character like Lobo, who's in space, it's going to
sell. Well, you know, he could have visited
against Galaxy Rangers, maybe, but... You know, that doesn't make sense.
It was so popular for Batman to have gone through these iterations that they literally did it again. They gave him an encore when Cole's favorite story arc came about, which was the death of Batman when he got time bulleted back in time.
That's right.
It clearly did so well. They did an entire action figure line.
That was amazing. I'm telling you, that one where he's got the horse.
And he's got the big, like, bow legs. He stands like he's constantly doing, like, squats.
Broke back Batman?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Came with a whip and a cape that didn't sit on right.
Right.
He's doing his morning exercises. He's warming up.
All right. So what was the best one? What do you love about this? Give me one that you absolutely love and why. Why do you love it? Bobby, you're up. Tell me.
I always fall back into all the Batmans, mainly because those are the ones I really got into, because I was that guy that we were making fun of earlier that says, ooh, Batman. And, you know, I would buy...
Oh, well, we all do that. That's our natural inclination towards Batman.
Yeah, and that whole... And forgive me, I don't remember the name of it. I really dug, like, the Zorro-ish Batman.
Right.
Because I was a huge Zorro fan. So, you know, it had that Zorro type Lone Ranger mentality, but with Batman. But for the life of me, I can't remember the name of the damn book.
I'm sure we can find out in short.
I'm sure we can.
In short order, can't we?
Blue the Gray and the Bat, or was it another one?
It might be the Blue the Gray and the Bat. Is that
was one where he's running around on the horse? He's got a big bullwhip.
Yeah, it's that one. I thought that was so cool, just because I'm like, but I was obsessed with like Westerns for a long time. So I was, that's right, Batman's in the Old West. That's going to be a movie someday. Because I decided that's what people wanted to see.
That would be an amazing movie, though. Like, if they did that for the next Batman movie, I would be extremely astounded and happy with that.
Chuck Connors is Batman.
Right. Batlash, Batman, and Man of Bats.
Oh, well, yeah, there you go.
All of the above.
It's like the Wild West Batman family.
Just all of them. So what about you, Cole?
I guess, you know, the thing about it is I'm aware of more of these than I've actually read.
Okay.
But I'd have to say if we're looking strictly at, you know, other times, other places, that sort of thing.
Right.
One of the most satisfying that I've ever seen and bothered to read was the Incredible Hulk Future Imperfect.
Nice, yeah. With the Maestro in it?
Yes. I thought that was a really good extrapolation. If you're going to go future, make it make sense. I mean, in the past, you can just fart out anything you want because it's either going to make good sense that you're retooling the legend to the time period, or you just farted something out for a quick buck.
Right.
I'm a fan.
But if you're going to go into the future, think it through. And that one, that future was logical in the way that Days of Future Past was for the X-Men.
Right.
It was a good logical progression forward.
I agree. For me,
and the other thing is that what Peter David did so well there was he also gave you a sense of the culture of this future. You know, a lot of the times the artists will draw like, oh, look, they're wearing like, you know, their underwear on the outside. Oh, wait, that was Back to the Future. their pants were inside out. But, you know, they even had some, like, language forms. There was, like, one person was saying, hey, scan this. You know, essentially that being sort of a by-then contemporary form of, hey, take a look at this. And I thought what was clever about that, it was a subtle way to say we recognize that language changes.
Right.
Even under the oppressive green fist of the Maestro.
But it was good. It was also cool because you got to see, like, am I wrong in the, I don't think I'm wrong in the, when they went to, the Maestro had all the trophies.
Yes.
Was that with like all the superheroes?
Yeah, he got kind of Batman-esque in his old age.
Right.
You know, whatever. He couldn't wear on a bandolier he would put on display because it was like Batman. Who else is going to see this? Alfred? I mean, come on. What kind of trophy room is that? What, do you just sit down there and masturbate when you're all of what I've done?
Sounds like a place to do it.
Yeah.
See, I have a favorite, and my favorite is my favorite for only one reason, because there's so many of these that I absolutely love. This one is my favorite, and the only reason it's my favorite is for one thing that happened in the actual series, and that was the DC 1 Million series. I loved it. I loved the just utter brashness of it. First of all, Grant Morrison wrote it, and he's insane. With you know, we discussed him in the last one. Like, there's so much errata and perfunctory bullshit in this thing. But the idea is that for some reason, this group of you know, at the time it was Kyle Rayner and Wally West, I think, you know, Wally West and that iteration of the Justice League, Aquaman with the hook hand, Batman, Martian Manhunter, and they had to go into the future to stop Vandal Savage from doing something. So, but Earth could not be left without a Justice League.
Naturally.
So they had to switch. Somebody rang the bell like a Beastie Boys song, and they had to change positions. So the future Justice League, which all of them represented a planet at that point, like Batman had a prison planet, and I want to say it was, I forget what planet Batman represented, but Starman was out there. They all switched positions, and the reason I love it, not because it's just utterly ridiculous that they had to like stop the sun, and then Superman had to fly into he recreates Krypton in our solar, like, it's a weird, insane book that they could get away with anything they want. Is there was a brilliant fight scene between Batman current, Bruce Wayne, and then Batman future, where they're talking about their fighting style. So it's sort of like what you were talking about with Future Imperfect, where they're creating like vocabulary and they're creating the changes that happen. Like there's some, I'm using this fighting style of the octopus people from this planet from the future.
Oh, okay.
You know, and they're like going back and forth, and Batman ends up losing, but not by much, because it was the first time I'd ever heard. And I know it was mentioned, since I've done the research after reading it, I know it was mentioned at a different point in the comic where Batman uses his timbre and tone of voice to hypnotize you for a few seconds so he can get a cheap shot in.
Oh, nice.
Does that ring any bells?
No, because it's stupid.
It is ridiculous. But that he was fighting a guy using Octopus Style from SETI Alpha Prime. Let's give him a little bit of a break on the ridiculous scale.
That something else as stupid as that, you know that. Okay, don't cry. Keep moving. This is a show.
Oh, hush your face. So that was the first time where I heard Batman be like, and you've been listening to my voice for 5 minutes, and the timbre of my voice is this, and I'm saying this. And now because of that, I've hypnotized you for a few seconds, and now I'm going to punch you in the face.
And I was like, say play every advantage.
I was like, that's amazing. I'm all right with that. So that was my favorite.
Yeah, I think the Octopus Style allows you to get away with that.
Yeah, once you throw all bets are off. Once the Octopus Style is involved, all bets are off.
And apparently, all writing and creativity is off too.
Right. You can do whatever you want.
That's another one of those meetings. He said, "Let's have him fight Octopus Style," and people were like, "That's a good plan."
This is just exactly like why I got this idea with DC 1 million, where we're going to take all these superheroes that all now go to a planet and we'll switch them out and Vandal Savage. Like, oh, well, why not? Just do it. This was during the heyday of the new Justice League. So they were getting away with Prometheus and putting Plastic Man in the Justice League. They were getting away with whatever the hell they wanted to.
You know, with all these silly things that they've ever done, you know, with all these different books and stuff, why was there never like a backwoods type storyline with like Mr. Banjo or anything?
What, like Hillbilly Justice League?
Hillbilly Bobby? Bobby.
Clark,
right before you text, you're like...
Bobby, I think we have a mission for you.
All right.
I think the Hillbilly Justice League is your new challenge.
But we got to create it with actual real characters. We can't be making crap up. So there's enough of these idiotic characters that I think we can create.
Crash Bands and the Appalachians. And he's raised by, you know, toothless hillbillies. Instead of, you know, the Kents are just like trailer trash living up in the hills eating squirrels.
Right.
Oh my God! I am gonna draw.
Batman becomes Rat Man, and he just eats rats on a spit.
No! If we're gonna do that, we have to actually. It has to be actual existing characters. I don't want to make an Elseworld.
Oh, all right, Solomon Grundy.
Come on, man.
Solomon Grundy's the pappy.
You have Bizarro, Solomon Grundy, Mr. Banjo, who's like the patriarch of the family.
Can you do Turner D. Century just because? He needs some play.
Why not?
What's her name? The large woman that used to be in Legion of Doom that would grow.
Giganta.
Yeah, she wore that stupid loincloth thing, so she looked like she was
from the Me, Tarzan, Eugene app collection.
Yeah, that's another thing. Don't get me started on costumes because I don't understand some of these ideas.
So that was the best. What's the worst, Cole? What's the one where you were like, come on, really? This is happening.
Wow. There's so many to choose from. How does one decide?
I know, right?
It's just downright epidemic at points.
It's also
some
academic.
Ones I think, huh?
I said it's also academic.
Yeah. Some of the biggest stretches, I think wasn't there like a attempt to do like a samurai Superman?
Probably. I'm not going to say possibly. I'm going to say probably.
JLA Shogun of Steel.
Really? Is that a thing?
Set in feudal Japan.
Oh, good God. Why?
But you know, one of the worst that I saw that I had a lot of hope for was League of Justice.
Okay.
Where it was supposed to be, I think we mentioned before, the sword and sorcery type of Justice League.
Yeah.
It seemed like an interesting concept. I'd seen a picture of, like, the League of Justice version of the Batmobile was this chariot drawn by two giant bats. While, you know, the Batman character himself, his hood was like the skin of a dead bat, you know. A dead giant bat, obviously, so it would fit. So I was like, okay, this should be you if you don't pull my chariot.
Learn your place.
Well, did any of you read The Nail? The JLA?
The Nail was good, though.
See, here's my problem with that, though. Like, as a whole, you're right, it was good. But I had a distinct problem with that story.
because, you know, basically the premise is, you know, there's no Superman. So it's like, well, you know, chaos without, you know, the champions with his ideals and stuff. It's basically saying every other superhero is a dick.
Right.
So to me, that anytime they take Superman out of a story or something and suddenly everything goes to crap, that it has two issues for me. It's like, one, why is, if Superman's such a badass and he stays, there should be no crime.
Yeah.
Because he's gone, everything goes to crap, which means these rescue superheroes need to be retired because they suck.
Because they suck.
Well, because if suddenly Superman's gone and he's pulling all their weight, he's gone and they can't keep shit together, it's time for them to go. Bring Mr. Banjo and let's do this.
Let's do this thing.
Mr. Banjo will save us.
Mr. Banjo and Tiger Shark can save the day.
Hey,
there you go.
Hey, careful.
I like Tiger Shark. You calm down.
That's awesome.
But also, the thing is that League of Justice, it just turned out to be nothing like I was hoping for. It wasn't like a fanciful, let's set the Justice League in the, you know, in a sword and sorcery and in the Hobbit type world or something. And then on top of that, they had to, like, throw a bunch of teenagers in the mix, so it turned into Dungeons and Dragons.
Did they have the cool bow? I love that bow.
That bow was awesome.
I used to play when I was a kid. I would run around like I had that bow.
I still do. I don't know what you're talking about. I used to.
I didn't want to admit to that. But I will now.
The first that I also tried to read was, I almost forgot about this one, was Superman, Wonder Woman, Whom Gods Destroy.
Oh, okay.
And trying to, like, combine the sensibilities of classical Greek mythos and tragedy.
Yeah.
With future Nazis.
Nice! Nice!
How could that go horribly wrong right. anyway?
I know, it turned into a sci-fi original movie.
From the asylum.
We should be so lucky. Did anybody ever read Speeding Bullets, by the way? Did anybody ever read Speeding Bullets?
I think I did.
Or Superman Becomes Batman, because yes. Because you need that kind of power inception in one character. Like, Mom and Pa, you can't get mowed down, so I'm going to put on the mantle of the bat, and I can fly, and I have heat vision, and I just, why? Why does you even need it at that point? It just pisses me off.
Well, Bat should fly. If you want to really think about it, Batman should be able to fly.
Yeah, that's a good
instead
point.
Instead of swinging around. So it does make a little better
sense. Instead of swinging around.
and I guess Bat should have heat vision.
He's just willy-nilly swinging around town like he's Spider-Man.
There goes that asshole swinging around again.
Does he go back to the city and collect all of his, like, you know, his little ropes that he shoots out? And then, because I know he can't be... I imagine, like, in real life, if Batman comes swinging by, he would stop. He'd miss every criminal because he'd be spending all that time trying to tuck his little grappling hook back into his little pouch. And he's, like, pulling it. Especially
you're saying stuck. It's not like Survivor Man, where you shoot the footage and you have to go back and get the camera.
Exactly. That's what they need to do. They need to do an Elseworlds book of, you know, what if Superman or Batman or any of these characters were in the real world. And I'm talking about the real world, not these real world bullshit that we get in the movies. Real world where, like, Batman's swinging by, he misses his target, or his thing won't detach, and he's just hanging there. And having to figure out, how the hell do I get out of here?
Well, it's like a Batman from the Michael Keaton movie where he's got Kim Basinger, and he asks her how much she weighs, and what'd she say, like 108 pounds?
108.
And he gets all the way up there.
Yeah, he kind of jams the grapple because he's...
That's still my favorite scene from that movie.
He should have called her a fat ass.
My favorite.
He should have said
he was
fat
gracious.
Ass.
He said she weighed a little more than 108.
Now I want Batman to just look at her and go, fat ass.
He should have looked at her going, fat ass, hold this, and jump down. And then that's the other thing. He was so, like, clumsified. He falls, hits the ground, and stumbles around. I'm like, this Batman sucks.
Right?
He was faking it. He was luring those guys in so they'd, like, come check his wallet.
Here's what I want to see.
I want to check Batman's wallet.
If you want to merge characters and you want to merge timelines or anything like that, I want to see the origin of Superman merged with the Greatest American Hero.
Oh.
You make that together. That's the Superman I want to see.
Wow.
So you want to see, like, Clark grow up real clumsy and fly?
Yeah, have a white man's afro. Everything. I want all of it.
Have a white man's afro.
Did. I'm sorry.
I like that William Cat clone guy in Star Crash.
Oh, gosh. For the worst of this for me, I really think it's got to be Marvel 2099. And I will get arguments about that from people that are like, well, Spider-Man 2099 was a good book. Okay, it was.
No, it wasn't.
It was okay. Of the books that 2099 released, it was passable. I am going to give it that.
I would have to say of all the 2099 books, that was probably the best.
That's what I'm saying.
Saying a lot because they were all sucked. But
of the turd sandwiched, it was 2099. That's the piece of corn.
Corn? I want some corn. Are you trying to tell me that Punisher 2099 with his gigantic box shoulders?
And his boots? Those boots?
He looked like he was part of the Village People.
It was so good. It was so awful. Iron Man 2099 was the worst piece of shit I've ever read in my life.
I'm gonna have to come out in defense of that solely because I think Doom 2099 was a worse choice.
You think so?
You didn't?
Did we need? I mean, Dr. Doom. Now, he doesn't have his own book. He didn't have his own book then.
Because Dr. Doom is a stupid character.
What about the invention of Ravage 2099?
Okay. Oh.
Ravage was awesome with his big red hair and eyebrows.
Ravage 2099 was, I think, arguably the worst of the worst.
It was because, first of all, you had nothing. You had nothing to fall back on. There was no past. You're not picking it up to go, oh, well, this is a reimagination of a character that I like in the normal continuity. No, this is just a piece of shit you invented for $20.99. I got some hubcaps for shoulders and some weird bike chains.
Well, are you trying to say then you didn't like the Hulk 2099 and his gigantic reptilian looking?
Yeah, what was that? What was all of it? What was any of it?
He looked like Pitt.
He looked a little like Pitt. Yeah, I'll say that.
Lest we forget X-Men 2099.
Oh,
with
that
the contrived means of getting the X in the X-Men,
right?
And yeah, then you had forgettable Metalhead. Characters like Serpentina.
Metalhead was a badass. My favorite thing about that character, his name is Eddie von Beethoven.
Right? Like, they were really just throwing darts at a wall for a lot of this. There was a character in that by the name of Skullfire. Come on. Really? Skullfire, Bloodhawk?
Of all those characters, that's the one you don't have a problem with Junkpile?
No, I have way more of a problem with Skullfire. Skullfire, Junkpile ranks up there with Strong Guy. Skullfire ranks up there with
Strong Guy. I have never trusted that guy because, first of all, his legs are way too small to be taking up that upper half of his body, and he needs to cut the rest of that damn hair. Commit. He needs to either go bald or grow his damn hair. That little twerk hair thing in the front of his forehead is driving me crazy. And there's no feasibly way possible those little tiny ass legs are going to carry that man.
By the way, and Bobby will back me up on this, there was a bastard abomination of a book that came out of the 2099 series, and that was Moon Knight 2099, which was a one shot.
Oh, really?
It was a one shot.
Here's the thing. The design for the Moon Knight for 2099 was horrible, but it had that character could have worked in that future. Because what's cool about Moon Knight, and anybody that has any sense of taste will understand this, is that you don't have to do much to change it, but subtle changes make him completely different.
Right.
He could have been awesome in that line.
Yeah, well, he could be awesome in any line.
Well, exactly. But it much like the rest of them, it was just kind of stupid.
Well, I mean, any books that had villains like La Lunatica.
Oh, just...
And broken haiku from...
That's what we call my mother-in-law.
That's going to come back to bite you in the ass.
Yeah.
If it does, at least I know we had a listener.
Wow. Boom. Straight for the jugular.
Lamo.
Haji Maji.
Wow, did you just say Haji Maji?
I did say Haji Maji. Wow. I did. Yeah, there were some really awful... awful bad guys. Just the whole 2099 was so ill-conceived.
I honestly think that entire line was just made so they'd have somewhere to stick Ron Lim. I was a huge fan of Ron Lim, but I think they just needed somewhere to stick him, and they said, let's stick him in there, and because he fit with every character there.
Yeah, who is the word? Probably were saying, like, why don't we do a line that's all sort of Ron Lim style?
Exactly. It was early.
Who better to capture the Ron Lim style than Ron Lim
himself?
It was basically the format for Image.
How's about the Vulture in 2099? Does anybody remember that?
Oh, wow. What did
he look like?
He looked like he had metal wings and a weird helmet-y thing.
Oh, yes. And he had, like, the brown hair that stuck out of the top of him.
Yes, and... yes.
Oh, yeah, Yard Boss.
That was their attempt to make him actually cool.
Because everybody's got to be edgy in 2099.
I think the thought process there was, like, here's a chance for the Vulture to not be 800 years old.
I like the Vulture. I like the fact that the Vulture is you know...
Yeah, I like the fact he's the only geezer in comics.
He still has a lot of get up and go, that Vulture does.
Then they had to reverse age him. Well, my issue with the Vulture was the fact is, like, that's just another flaw. See, I always tend to look for the flaws in these heroes, and that shows how much of a shitty superhero Superman really is if he can't beat an 800-year-old man whose only ability is to fly around.
I don't think Superman's ever fought the Vulture.
He's just angry. He's just saying stuff.
Yes, you know I meant Spider-Man. Shut up.
Listen, let's take a second and really evaluate.
Superman wears underwear on the outside. Screw him.
Speaking of, let's all take a second to evaluate how large the crotchal region of Punisher 2099 needs to be to have this. You know how the Punisher in the normal Marvel universe has, like, the three, you know, teeth of the skull right there on his chest, like coming down where his abs are. Punisher 2099 has these foot long things that go from the base of his crotch all the way up to, like, his mid chest area. Are you telling me that somehow this is tactical?
Well, he had what we call extend-a-crotch.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I think what it is it's 2099 tactical.
Ah, because that's where the red and blue and white costume come in as camouflage. Yeah. All right.
They wouldn't work in this century, but come 2099, believe me, that's going to be the way to go.
But if you look at it anyway... The fact of, like, the original Punisher uniform with those big cylinders meshes into the skull to make, like, the skull teeth.
Right.
If you look at the 2099, it's not doing that.
No, it's not. It's just over his crotch.
It's his extended chin because it's like you have the face, which for some reason looks like an Asian skull on his chest.
It's...
The mouth is open, and it looks like it's got extendo jaw going all the way down to his crotch.
It goes all the way past his crotch, it looks like.
Well, then the tooth area, you know, that was made up, the teeth of the skull were always that belt buckle area there.
Right, right.
And in the case of the 2099 Punisher, it's like he's got a Dixie cup dispensers.
Are you
thirsty? I dare you to get a big gulp cup from my crotch.
Right? You got to reach up there, boy.
Daddy's got something for you.
How thirsty are you?
Yeah.
I bet you're really thirsty right now.
What's funny though with him too is it seems like that he was very much like they're like, how many different things can we slap onto him? He was very a Rob Liefeld character.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like the metal pointed spikes on his boots and these gigantic gauntlets. And then he'd carry
big knee pads.
Yeah, the knee pads, shoulder pads, and, you know, holsters and pouches. And then he carries guns that are five times his size. And his head is like a peanut.
Right.
Yeah.
But
he's also got the high collar. You don't want to forget to have a high collar when you're.
I wear a high collar a lot.
That was necessary because his head was so small. That's the only way they could protect his head.
I forgive him for his high collar.
And then depending on what image you're looking at of him, he's got like things strapped on his shoulders like boom boxes and toasters and stuff.
Right. He's been hanging out with Ravage 2099 just in the junkyard.
I believe they fought, didn't they?
Who else are they going to fight?
I imagine everybody.
Who else are they going to fight, man? There's only five dudes.
I just always love...
Apparently there was an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. 2099 that appeared in the Punisher.
Yeah, there was a S.H.I.E.L.D. 2099 in 2099. How long did 2099 go on for all this crap to have happened?
I know. I think it lasted a couple weeks.
It was like 1 year. Well, I mean, like, you get into, like, I know Punisher went well into at least 20-something issues because they brought in a female Punisher 2099 as well.
Oh, why? Why?
It was part of the same stuff. Why not? Because it's amazing. I think she was actually...
Cassandra Castle related.
Well, I think she was Vendetta.
I remember Mutant 2099 too.
Oh, Lord.
Does anybody remember Mutant 2099? It was created by Robert Kirkman, though.
Well, they're always created by somebody like now that you're like, really?
And then, of course, the why did we need this? Ghost Rider 2099.
Right.
Why do we need Ghost Rider, period?
That's true. But we do.
But you know, we were talking about that World's Funnest where it took Superman and Batman through the different worlds and times and stuff of the DCU.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten I was actually loaned several runs of Exiles.
Wow.
Where they were hopping around all over the Marvelverse.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And there was a storyline where they went to the 2099 universe.
Really?
They're going to figure it out.
There was a PlayStation game based on the 2099 universe.
X-Men Punisher 2099 ran for 34 issues.
Holy hell.
The longest running book, this is going to kill you. The longest running book is Spider-Man 2099.
Yeah.
Which I'm surprised, but the second longest running book was Doom 2099.
Oh.
What? 44 issues of that crap.
What is wrong with people?
They're awesome.
Why did people keep buying it?
You know, that kills you. Ghost Rider 2099 only made 25 issues, and Fantastic Four only did 8. But Ravage 2099 made 33.
Oh,
I think they already printed them and they just stopped with it.
They just said, let's get them done. We'll have X-Men Nation come out, you know, X-Nation, and we'll put all those out and we'll get everything running and then we'll just start selling them and look like we're doing great.
Oh.
I think the Fantastic Four 2099 varied just not even... minutely from
the actual Fantastic Four. Yeah, because they were all like, oh, we're going to be we're clones or something like that. We're clones of the originals, and we're going to recreate the... Okay, so essentially you're just doing the Fantastic Four again. Jim Lee called, and he wanted his Heroes Reborn reboot back, essentially.
Exactly.
Whoa now. Calm down. Let's calm down. Let's all step back and take a breath.
I don't want to.
Well, you know, they brought it back, the 2099 stuff, back later.
Yeah.
You know, when they had, like, the Marvel Knights 2099 and Inhumans and another Punisher 2099.
Well, they brought it back in 2009.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, because they had Cassandra Castle as the Punisher. And...
Right. Where they crossed paths with their alternate versions
My favorite was the Black Panther for that iteration of 2099. His name was Kashamba.
Oh, jeez.
Wasn't that a wrestler?
Right?
Yeah. Hello, T'Challa. My name is Kashamba.
Can I tell you, Kurt, who's been on the show before, we sat down to watch the motion comic of the Black Panther.
Oh, God.
The Marvel Knights motion comic. It was good, and I really liked the story, and I read the original mini that it was based on. It was awesome.
Because that's the John Romita Jr. one, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, the book is awesome. That comic movie thing, no.
See, I bought into the comic movie. It was the intro music that every time I heard it, I'm like, I can't keep watching this. This is awful.
I did like African Mambazo.
Yeah, it was. It was like Lady Bird Mambazo meets Skrillex. It was horrible. So what do you want to see?
80. I want to see 85 years from now. I want to live to 85 years from now to see how embarrassed we are about 2099.
You know, and I'm gonna go out on public record here. I bought every single issue of almost every 2099 book.
I bought a bunch of them. I'm not gonna lie.
I think I had this weird. I mean, it took me years before I quit collecting comics pretty much altogether, or could just read graphic novels, because I had this weird obsession where if I bought a book, I had to stick with it till like I had to have like to issue 10 or to issue 20, or
right.
I couldn't go on issue 7 and just say this book sucks, I can't read it anymore. I'll buy those next three. I may not even read them. I would buy them and stick them in there, but I had this obsessive compulsive issue of having to have those numbers. So there was numerous issues of like Ravage and stuff like that that I stopped.
Well, look at me. I bought 125 issues of Star Wars and read about half of them before I quit.
I will admit this. I have up to the way more recent stuff, the entire run of Moon Knight from Ding to Dong. The entire run of Moon Knight, and there were some atrocities.
You go back to like the fighting monsters days.
Yeah, well, yeah, I've got the first appearance with Moon Knight Werewolf Fighter, but
yeah, I had an entire run of the Mark Spector Moon Knight at one point.
But there are in that Mark Spector Moon Knight, there are some atrocities against humankind in there.
Thanks for bringing up this painful moment in my life.
The Eternals, or what was it that he became? Like, when his skin was falling off and he had to do the Batman, I'm going to choose my successor thing. Like, nobody wants to be Moon Knight. You're missing the point, man.
Right. The fact that they screwed up when they stepped trying to bring him back and they went all mystical and
yeah,
made him, you know, just like when they brought the Punisher back, you know, going by 2099, when he came, is like the devil's assassin.
No, you're talking about the one that came out with when Kevin Smith was doing Daredevil, and they brought Frank Castle back as
cross burned on his head.
He had the angelic mark burned on his head. He had the trench coat. He was an angel. He was working for Michael, and he had the trench coat that he could pull any weapon out of that he could imagine.
Oh, wow.
It was horrible.
It was ridiculous. I saw that, and I'm like, this is going to be fucking awesome. Finally.
Right.
Finally, the Punisher is going to be, you know, unstoppable, and he's going to be this superhero like the rest of them. And I remember reading that first, and I'm like, what the hell is this crap? This is the stupidest thing I've ever read. I don't understand. And I bought every issue.
Right.
I was like, I can't.
I bought like the first 10 issues, and then I was like, I can't continue with this. No, it was a 4-issue mini, and then they went on from there and reset at one, and actually had an ongoing, I think. But I bought the whole four.
What happened is they did, if I remember correctly, they did the 4-issue mini series, and everybody thought it was horrible.
Right.
So they kicked him back to the normal Punisher, and then started rebooting it again.
Right.
You know, because every issue series that comes out is a reboot for that character.
Right.
It's like, when
with
do you,
the
when
same
do you,
origin story. It's a reboot with the same origin story.
It's like, when do you realize that no one wants to read a book? You know,
right.
Like, it's a great character, but you know, some characters need to be guest stars and nothing else.
I realize that we're diatribing, but the new Punisher series, amazing.
I haven't read the new one.
The new one, and I think Brubaker wrote it. Who wrote it? We talked about it.
I'd get on to you about diatribing, but it's your show, so.
Right. I'm talking here.
The adults are talking.
That's right. No, but the new series of The Punisher was amazing, where he says, like, in the first three issues, I think he says a total of, like, 12 words. It's so good. It's all just it's
so
all
basically
just
what you're telling us is what you want is you want a book that you don't have to read.
Pretty much. That's what why should you have
well,
to read
that
a Punisher
issue right
book?
Right after the Fantastic Four, right after Johnny Storm died.
Right.
There's not a single word in the whole thing. That'll save you some time.
Aw.
They did that in some of the when Damian Wayne died too, they had books that had no words.
So yeah, all right. We're coming up against it. We're coming up against it again. I want to know what you want to see. Not what we have seen and what we hated and what we loved, but I want to know what you want to see. What's the book, what's the alternate history book, comic book that you want to see?
Spider-Kiss.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing.
See, I don't have to explain that one.
Did you say Spider-Fish?
No, not Spider-Fish. Spider-Kiss.
Like Spartacus.
No, no, I got it. At first, I thought you said Spider Fist, and I didn't understand. I went a whole different direction with that storyline.
I don't even have to go any further with that.
Ancient Rome. Right. The guy gets bit by a magic spider.
Because that's all.
Or it's radioactive, but nobody knows what that means. He just gets bitten by a spider and doesn't get dead.
Right. And then he gets captured.
Yeah.
And then
he gets sold into slavery.
Right.
But he becomes a hit of the Colosseum because he can scale walls and...
and he's pretty smart. You know, he's not. Yeah. He's not a dummy.
He's no dummy. And then he winds up... It turns out that there's, like, others with powers. So you can fold in some more Marvel Universe.
I like this.
And, like, you know, one of his first bouts, once his superpowers are detected, they pit him against this shock guy, this electricity guy, even though, you know, it's like they call him Vulcan or something because they don't know what the hell electricity
right.
is.
Right.
And then, you know, then you have, so, you know, you get the dynamic. And this is one of those things we used to do on Super Geek Out sometimes.
Yeah.
Is you get that dynamic. And the other one I want to see is from Super Geek Out, my Wild West Fantastic Four.
That would be cool. That would be really cool to see.
And I might have to see if we can dig up the audio just for that portion where we talked about our versions of the Fantastic Four. Or Catherine went kind of, as I recall... Oh, like Harvey Tunes?
Yeah, yeah.
Or instead of Invisible Woman, you had Casper?
I don't remember what I had. I had something, and I don't even remember.
I know if you're going to do that I think that you need to reimagine the characters. So, like, you know, you need to have, like, Johnny Storm be gay.
So he's like Archie?
I can just imagine the flame on.
Oh.
I have my.
I should have known that was your soul.
He's been waiting. He's been waiting 53 minutes to drop that joke.
Hey, here's my ultimate alternate book is actually a mashup between I would want to take the Punisher and Mr. Banjo.
Oh my God.
To reimagine them.
Okay.
Okay.
How do you reimagine a character that doesn't exist?
Hold on. You take those. Mr. Banjo exists. You just calm down. He was on the DC Robot Chicken special. So, you take those two characters, then you reimagine them as Cardigan and the Flutesman.
Nice.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Anytime you could just have Cardigan and the Flutesman, I'm happy.
You can make Superman and Batman be Cardigan and the Flutesman because right. Batman would automatically be the Flutesman because he'd carry all that crap around. So I could see him have his little reeds in his little pouch and different ends to screw on the end of his flute so it does different things. And he has that flute where he can play it
and it hypnotizes you just long enough for him to sucker punch.
That's right.
He has to have like lip balm because his lips always get worn out during battles blowing on his flute.
His lips always get worn out. I love it.
Hey, wait, you try sucking on a flute during a high intense battle and see what your lips look like.
You're supposed to blow, not suck.
but you got that little, you pucker up, you're like, you know, your lips are sticking up.
Have you ever played? I don't play. Oh, my God. You're playing, but I have an idea.
This is the best show I've ever done.
Go watch a person play flute.
This is my magnum opus right here.
Watch somebody play the flute for a little while, and once you get over the creepy factor of just staring at somebody play the flute, then you realize their lips have been all puckered up and blowing. The air is going to get them all chapped and gross. You know, he's going to have to have like some tarnish cleaner for the flute because he's been spitting on it during like a 3-hour battle against, you know, I don't know, Captain Guitar. And
Captain Guitar!
You know, so, you know, and it, you know, and periodically, if he's hanging out with Cardigan, he's going to get like little Cardigan hairs and crap on his flute and his teeth. And it's going to be like a strange relationship.
I stand corrected.
They share a lot.
They do. They're very close. Don't get me started on their whole story.
I'm sure you've already got
it worked
out. It's
like the superhero version of 10 Speed and Brown Shoe.
I like to think of it as Convoy meets Convoy. I don't have anything for that. Oh, it's Kris Kristofferson in Convoy meets Burt Reynolds in Gator and
Gator
or Sharky's Machine.
All right, we're gonna wrap it up now. I think we've done enough damage for one night.
Okay, a little off topic though. You were talking about the animal covers,
right?
For Marvel books, why is Brute Force not getting any coverage?
What?
Brute Force. It was like these, like a lion and a dolphin and a eagle and these, and a kangaroo in armor. Look it up. It was published by Marvel.
Okay. We'll look it up.
There's a reason you've never heard of it.
Right. If I've never heard of it, then,
then you're better for it.
Fought a shark and a rhinoceros and a vulture, all also in armor.
Because why not? Why wouldn't it be? All right. Bobby, do you have any final thoughts?
I still want to see a book with superheroes in their real world and what happens, you know, when they after them get their equipment malfunctions and stupid crap happens to them.
Okay. Cole, do you have any
fun? Batmobile gets towed.
Right.
Yes, like he comes back and he's chasing a criminal and it's like, you know, the closest thing they ever did to that is when Jason Todd tried to steal the wheels off the Batmobile, and then they turned that into a Robin origin story. Batman's going to get his ass robbed because he parks that thing just wherever he feels like it. He needs to get it either stolen, towed, he get a ticket, he needs to get arrested, something. He's got to get tons of unpaid parking tickets for that damn thing.
Right. You have any final thoughts, Cole?
Well, apart from just, you know, wanting to see Banjo Man.
His name is Mr. Banjo.
Get it right, Cole. His name's Mr. Banjo. You're offending Mr. Banjo.
The future flutesman.
Well, I think we're what, about midway through this arc?
We are.
And already, I think the thing you can pinpoint most specifically in this arc is done right, this sort of conceptual thing can be a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah.
But more often than not, it's done wrong, and it's done very wrong.
Right.
In which case, it becomes a lament, because you just spent money on this piece of garbage.
It's because you got excited. Here's the thing. Any of these books are a lie. All right, it's all ledger domain and trickery. That's what this is. they woo you in with this idea. And it's like you said about the Justice League Swords and Sorcery book, right? They lure you in because your imagination is run wild with this anticipation of something that it's completely not. You know,
yes, the possibilities are far greater than the realities.
It's the eHarmony online dating profile of the comic book world, is what it is. Because you're like, oh, I've got this. Oh, it's going to be Samurai Batman fights this, you know, Ninja Riddler, and it's going to be amazing. And I read about it in Wizard, and they said it was going to be awesome.
They even went so far as to cast a wrestler in the part.
Right. And they're, I'm going to cast this comic book as a movie thing. And Chow Yun-Fat, because that was when he was, you know, really popular, he's going to be cast as Batman. And it's all just a horrible lie. That's what these books are. They're a horrible lie that sometimes they get right. That's my synopsis right there. Bobby, were you saying something?
Bobby has to haul off and find actual imagery of Mr. Banjo.
I think we have our cover. I think we have to modify our...
Yes, we do.
We have to modify our post now because we found Mr. Banjo.
He's like a Captain Marvel villain.
he's a Fawcett villain. All right.
Oh, my God. Yes. He was like, wasn't he part of the Monster Society of Evil or something?
You owe me an apology.
I am sorry we ever doubted you, Bobby.
Oh, wow.
I will not be called out.
You made up.
I'm sorry that we didn't believe you that Mr. Banjo was a viable villain at any point.
Look, you know what? I wish I could say that he did not exist. Because in the comic world, that character should not exist.
They need to reboot Mr. Banjo. They need to reboot Mr. Banjo and make him a Christopher Nolan-esque Batman Arkham Asylum villain.
And let me tell you, to find the image...
He needs to be an A-list villain.
I agree.
Well, let me tell you something. To find Mr. Banjo, an image of Mr. Banjo, is not a pretty journey.
I can only imagine what you went through to find that.
You type in Mr. Banjo, he's right there at the top. But so is Hey Mr. Banjo in some very inappropriate blackface album.
Wow. What kind of Odyssean journey you just went through? Some kind of Tartarian Odyssean nightmare you just went through to find that image of Mr. Banjo?
Yeah, it was like, I looked twice. I almost sent y'all the other one instead.
Oh, Bobby, can you please give us your plugs, sir?
I can give you any plug you need. You can check out my 6 years worth of webcomics that I'm currently not working on, but there's enough there to keep you busy for a little while at laststopcomic.com. I have the lovely pleasure of working with Mr. Jedi Cole on the You Are Here cartoons, as well as contributing to Open Season at Jedi Cole Universe, as well as all the podcasts and co-hosting What'd You Think with lovely Mrs. Jedi Cole. And you can check out my reviews and stuff on examiner.com.
There you go. Cole, tell us about...
You can find me at MrBanjo.com.
tell us all about some stuff.
All right. We can, of course, find this and other great shows and features at the Jedi Cole Universe, which I should know the name of my own damn site. We can find this show, myself and Eddie Medina in the Rancor Pit. Catherine and Bobby do the incredible What'd You Think from time to time. You should really check that one out.
Was it incredible from time to time, or actually we do it from time to time?
Well, it's incredible when in the parts where you're not talking.
Very good.
Ouch. Yowza.
No, he's right.
He's right.
I'm sorry. I'm just still reeling to the fact that I remembered now that Mr. Banjo is a member of the Monster Society of and appears in the Who's Who issue with that group.
Sweet Lord.
I think it makes it kind of worse on you because you went from not knowing who it is to remembering his entire history. I just know his name is Mr. Banjo.
Oh, sweet God, what did you send me?
What else I found when I typed in Mr. Banjo?
Oh, Bobby. So, Cole, tell us about the other thing.
The other thing is you can also, if you're in Texas and you're keen on going to conventions like the many conventions, the upcoming, we're doing a whole show on this very show about AllCon coming up in March. And you can find out about that and all kinds of other conventions in the Lone Star State at the Convention Awareness Project Texas at conventionawarenesstx.blogspot.com. Even as we speak, I just updated and added about a dozen new shows very recently, so check that out. Full year-long listing of everything convention-wise in Texas. And, of course, you can find Andrew and myself at the United States of Geekdom at UnitedStatesOfGeekdom.com, along with Catherine and Rick Gutierrez and occasionally Bobby.
My final thought is this. For the Redneck Justice League, Snaggletooth Hunchback. That's all I'm going to say.
There you go.
Boom. Snaggletooth Hunchback. All right. So get out there, buy, collect, and enjoy your comic books. There were a bunch we didn't get to tonight, which is fine because this was an amazing show. Marvel 1602, Kingdom Come, all those books. Again, enjoy them. There are some really good ones. They occasionally on eHarmony you find somebody worthwhile. They aren't all 36-year-old men who podcast about comic books all day long. So until next time, I'm Andrew.
I'm Cole.
And I'm Bobby. And remember, there are good ones, and there's Marvel 2099.
Amen to that, Bobby.
And Mr. Banjo.
Good night,
and
everybody.
Mr. Banjo.
And Mr. Banjo. And Snaggles and Punchback. Hey, kids, comics. It's your boy.